for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I am Rob West. In Joshua 24:15, Joshua makes a statement of faith in front of the whole nation of Israel. He and his family chose to serve the one true God. Today, you have the same choice between false gods and the Lord. We'll find out how that relates to your finances and then take your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, after crossing the Jordan into the Promised Land, the Israelites fought the Battle of Jericho. Joshua was their leader, and the Lord gave them the victory. In Joshua 24, the general reminds his people of God's faithfulness to them at Jericho and through their history. He ends by making that memorable statement of faith. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As Christians in a non-Christian culture, we are also called to take a stand. We can either choose to serve the gods of this world or the Lord. It's not easy for us, and it wasn't easy for the Israelites. There were temptations everywhere to serve other gods. That's why Joshua reminds the people over and over, "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous." In the New Testament, Paul echoes Joshua's call to the Israelites in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. It takes courage, determination, and trust in the Lord to withstand the worldly desires and impulses that assault us every day. So, what are some of the false gods we deal with today? Well, Larry Burkett used to say that a false god is anything that detours our commitment to God. So anything you focus on, depend on, or put your trust in other than the Lord is a false god or an idol. Let's look at a few of today's idols. First, financial security can become an idol. You might be depending on your retirement plans, savings accounts, and investment income to see you through. But financial security won't save you in the end. Another false god is government provision. Do you expect welfare programs, federal relief checks, or government handouts to meet your needs? These are only temporary fixes. God is your ultimate provider. For some folks, power is what they trust. Personal status, reputation, and financial influence might seem desirable, but these don't have the power to bring peace. Another idol you'll see everywhere is the idea of personal autonomy. I did it my way seems empowering. Follow your own desires looks appealing, and I deserve this feels right. But all of these represent a worldview that puts you on the throne of your life. Selfishness and pride are sins that leave no room for the Lord. You know, it's possible to be strong in a worldly way, either physically or by sheer human determination. But I don't think that's what Joshua meant when he challenged his people to be strong and courageous. True strength is defined by its source, and when the Lord is your source, your strength is from Him. Our faith in God is our trust in Him to be our strength in times of need. As it says in Psalm 20, God's people can rise up and stand firm because we trust in the name of the Lord our God. But what if you don't choose to serve the Lord? Well, the consequences of trusting in false gods are severe. Throughout God's Word, you'll find warnings against bowing down to idols. Israel suffered God's judgment many times for their unfaithfulness. On the other hand, there are many benefits to trusting the Lord instead of false gods. One benefit is a closer walk with Christ. Following biblical principles in your financial choices means you're listening closely to what God wants for you, reading His Word, and trusting Christ to lead you. When you invite God into this important area of your life, you'll begin to understand 1 Timothy 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Another benefit that comes with trusting God in your finances is peace. When your financial choices are made in Christ, the result is peace, because God is in control. As it says in Romans 8:6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. While worldly desires and attitudes will lead people astray, pursuing God's way in your financial life can bring spiritual growth. You can make your financial decisions according to God's principles or according to secular worldly ideas. Like Joshua, you must choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, and we pray that you will choose to serve Christ and trust the Lord with everything. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
I hope you enjoyed your Easter celebration yesterday, worshiping with God's people, sharing a wonderful meal, but now it's Monday. There might even be a mess to clean up. The daily grind has resumed, and it brings us back to reality. And when this happens, it's good to remember what we celebrated. The angels who appeared to the women in Luke 24 announced, "He is not here, he has risen." Remember how he told you the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again? It's not only our hope on Easter Sunday, but every day. Why? Because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Get daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Just visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown, thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way, 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today and dive into whatever you're considering, thinking about in your financial life as you apply biblical truth. You know, as we think about how we make financial decisions, recognizing that we have a finite amount of resources for infinite financial decisions, we have to make decisions. So it's about wise decision-making in our financial lives. And the way we make decisions is in part determined by our environment, our background. I read a study over the weekend that said that the way you view money is largely in place by the age of 9. Think about that, that your environment growing up, some of your earliest memories of money, whether money was scarce or abundant, whether giving was modeled for you, whether a spending plan and using a budget to control the flow of money was modeled or not, has a lot to do with how tightly you grip or how loosely you hold money today. It's not everything, but it's a big factor. And when you think about your relationship with your spouse, if you're married, two of you coming together as one flesh with these different backgrounds, different wiring, clearly that can bring some challenges, some conflict, unless we work through it and find unity, which is the picture that God wants for us, and then pursue together God-given goals based on our values as believers. So clearly, our environment, our upbringing has to do with our money management. But you know what's bigger than that? Our hearts. You know, when we look at Scripture, we see that money can compete with God for first position in our lives if we allow it to. The things of this world, the distractions, our longing for abundance and fulfillment, we can try to find in the temporary, fleeting things of this world. That's at least what the media and advertising would encourage us to do. Certainly our culture as well. We know those will only satisfy temporarily, and ultimately we were hardwired to find our abundance in God Himself, in Christ. And so when we're misguided and we place our trust or we try to find fulfillment in the things of this world, we will be left empty and unsatisfied. So what do we do with that? Well, we reject that cultural idea. We make God our ultimate treasure. He is the passion and the longing of our heart. We choose Him over money, which clearly we see in the Sermon on the Mount. We have to choose. And then money is put in its proper place as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And so we look to Scripture and say, okay, how do we fight against the greed that can creep in? And what about covetousness, the comparison trap that we can find ourselves in? And we have to renew our minds, and we can't determine our lifestyle based on looking at someone else. And, you know, ultimately we need to find contentment and in our money management, living within God's provision. And so we do that by operating through a biblical lens. And clearly that's what we want to do on this program every day, is take you back into the Scriptures so we can counteract those longings of our heart, the sin nature that we have that would lead us toward the things of this world, and help you reorient your minds and your hearts ultimately on an eternal perspective. Now, we realize we want to do that in light of the very practical decisions and choices you're making every day as you save for a home purchase and try to pay for the kids' college and try to save for retirement. And yeah, you want to do some giving and you'd like to increase that over time. And what about that debt? We want to get that paid off. Well, we want to help you tackle those issues that are very real and very practical. So whatever you're considering and thinking about in your financial life today, give us a call, 800-525-7000. I've got some lines open. They won't stay open for long, so call right now. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's dive in today. We will begin in Illinois with Joe. Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. I have been, long story short, I've been unemployed since February 1st of this year. I have been applying to numerous positions with various companies, and the most I've gotten is an in-person interview with some of them. Others is just on the phone, but nothing beyond that. And I'm wondering, I'm concerned about several things. Number one is, what mistakes? I want to find out what mistakes I'm making, let's say, in that process. And then the second thing is, I'm sorry, I just had a brain cramp. I can't think of the second thing. I'm concerned about my employability.
Sure. Sure. Well, a couple of thoughts here. First of all, I can understand your concern. It's been a little while and you're looking for something. You obviously need employment. I would say let's invite God into that process. Perhaps you already have, but just continue to make this a matter of prayer, recognizing God is your provider. He has told us He will provide for us. And so you can trust him in that. U.S. government's not your provider. Your employer's not your provider. It's very clear in Scripture that it's even the Lord that gives us the power to create wealth. And so we just need to be reminded of that, bring that to him in prayer, and ask him for his provision. Second is, you can be encouraged that we're still in a relatively strong job market. Now, that's only good to the extent that that means you have a job, and I understand that, but the environment is right. It's not like we're in a really difficult job environment, so that's a good thing. Now, I like the fact that you're thinking about how you can improve your job-seeking skills, including how you perform well in that job interview, how you show up ready for the interview and put your best foot forward and highlight your skills and abilities and how they specifically relate to the company or the ministry or the work that you're applying to do. And I think that's one of the keys, being ready for some of the more typical questions you will likely be asked in an interview. And so if you head to our website, Joe, at faithfi.com, faithfi.com, and you click on content, and then you do a search for a segment we ran, a previous broadcast that I did called Nail Your Next Job Interview. We actually tackle this specific subject, and they're in the show notes as well as by listening to that prior episode. Again, just search for Nail Your Next Job Interview. I think that'll give you some really practical ideas that could be helpful to you as you show up for that next interview. I think the next thing is just to make sure you have as many interviews as possible. You'll get better at it over time. If you're not using Career Builder or LinkedIn or Indeed, those would be great options. Career Builder and Indeed are job search websites. LinkedIn is, of course, a business networking social media platform. And, you know, having an up-to-date and attractive and compelling resume is important, but also having a really up-to-date and compelling LinkedIn profile is important, because one of the first things someone will do when they consider you for employment is they'll go look you up on LinkedIn and see, you know, what your profile looks like, what's your work history, what's your skills, those kinds of things. And so you'll want to make sure that's up to date. I would also make sure you check with your church. A lot of times they have a job board. And then finally, a career assessment could be helpful to you, where you look at how God has wired you and see where that might direct you into career paths you hadn't considered. I'd like to offer you a free career assessment through Career Direct, one of our partners. I think that might be a blessing to you. So let's do this. You stay on the line. We'll get your information and we'll get you connected with Career Direct right away. We'll be right back.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Transgenderism, critical race theory, and evolution. Is your child or grandchild ready to face these and other issues on campus? Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson with Probe Ministries and Point of View. You know, many Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why we have the Mind Games Camp this year, June 16 to 22nd, a week of presentations, role play, as well as fun at camp. Sign up today at probe.org and help them meet these challenges to their faith.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got a few lines open today for your questions. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. By the way, the resource we're going to give to Joe as a free gift just for being on the program today is called Career Direct Living by Design. It's a wonderful tool that is a skills assessment, so it will help you uncover your God-given skills and abilities, your wiring, if you will, and connect that with various career tracks and professions. And so we've found it to be a really helpful tool over the years to examine some critical components of career selection, but in light of God's specific wiring in your life. And if you're looking for something that could help you get pointed toward the right career path for you, Career Direct could be a great option for you. You'll find it at careerdirect.org. All right, we're going to head back to the phones today with your questions at 800-525-7000. Let's go to Mississippi. Hi, Greg. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning there. I had heard about health savings account on your show, and I looked those up. I'm retired military with TRICARE. And from my understanding, if I've looked everything up right, I don't qualify for an HSA because I have some type of major medical insurance. So that's my question. And then as an add-on for that previous caller, you know, my daughter had made some mistakes in her life, and she persevered, and she recently completed college and has her teacher certificate. And I'm exceedingly proud of her. She's now a school teacher. So there's hope for people, and I sincerely encourage everyone just to keep trying. All right, sir, I'll hang up and wait for your response.
Well, first of all, let me just say, Greg, appreciate you sharing that testimony. What you're a proud dad, and you should be. I'm delighted to hear that your daughter has gotten on a track that has her making a difference in the lives of young people. And boy, that's no greater joy than to watch your kids thrive and pursue God's call on their lives. You're right in that the TRICARE does not qualify as a high deductible health care plan, which is what is required to have a health savings account. So the IRS does not allow those with the TRICARE benefits to contribute to an HSA, unfortunately. So you would have to have separate from that what's called a high deductible health plan that would allow you then to open the health savings account, which, as I had said on the previous program, is a great tool. I like HSAs a lot if you've got a high deductible health plan because it allows you to put in pre-tax dollars and then to pull them out tax-free for qualified medical expenses if you're relatively healthy, and especially if you can fully fund it every year, up to the maximum contribution limit, which for 2024 individuals is $4,150, families up to $8,300. By fully funding it, if you're not depleting it for healthcare expenses, you can always invest it as well. So you could put it kind of like a mutual or like a 401k in various mutual funds, let it grow, and then pull it out in retirement for healthcare related expenses. So it's a great tool, but it does require that high deductible health plan. And unfortunately, the TRICARE does not qualify. Let me say, though, thank you for your service to our nation. We're incredibly grateful. And if we can serve you in any other way, Greg, don't hesitate to call back. Lines are open today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call with your questions on any financial topic. You can call right now. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Charles. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi.
Yes. I'm calling to ask a question on business. So I would like, I'm a nurse, and I would like to start a business in something more like a laundromat or doing a home health. But I just want to make sure that it's God's will. And I've been praying about it, but I also just want to make sure that I'm not doing it by my flesh. And then my following question also is to know, do you have any recommendation on how to get finance in starting this business that I'm looking into, if it's God's will, where I can avoid high interest rates?
Yeah, very good. Let me ask you first, Charles, and then I'll weigh into the first part of your question. Do you have any savings built up that you could use to invest in this new business?
Yes, sir, I do. I have a lot of savings, and I just want to try to make sure I utilize it for something. So I have like maybe around $60,000, but I also want to make sure that I have it saved for like an emergency fund. I just don't want to use all that for the business. And then maybe for some reason, some emergency comes up, and then I'm like, oh, I put all the money in the business. What do I do? So,
well, I couldn't agree with you more on that, Charles. We really need to separate the two and, first of all, determine, okay, what are my monthly expenses? And so if you don't have a spending plan, you need that because you need to understand really clearly, especially if you're going to start a new business, what is my monthly need? And then secondly, you need to put aside that personal emergency fund that has those probably at least 6 months worth of expenses. And then beyond that, you need to think about your plan for how you're going to continue to meet your obligations without dipping into that emergency fund while you're getting the business up and running, because often it takes more time and it's more costly than we anticipate. And then separate from that would be anything left over that you would have available to start a business. Do you have a budget that you operate off of right now with your personal expenses?
To be honest, no, sir. I kind of gaze them based on my mind, but I don't have any.
Yeah, no problem. Most people don't, but this would be a great time for you to do that. We can help with the FaithFi app on our website. It'll give you a kind of a really simple way to begin to construct that budget. Just head to faithfi.com and click on app. Secondly, what would you guess your monthly expenses are all in?
So it's kind of tricky because I do a surgical job where sometimes it's unpredictable. So, I mean, on a good day, I may be getting about $1,500, but it's just unpredictable. But it goes between $1,500 to maybe $2,500.
Okay, that's your income, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The income I get every 2 weeks.
Okay, very good. Let's do this. This is really helpful background information. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a couple more questions, and I'll give you my thoughts on where you go from here. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
John 3:16 says that God gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Yet non-believers and Christians alike are crying foul because salvation is only available through Jesus. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress begins a bold teaching series called Not All Roads Lead to Heaven. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Coming up a little later in the broadcast, in fact, in the next segment, Bob Dahl will stop by. Bob will weigh in on what's driving the markets and the economy this week. Markets starting red with at least the big board, the Dow Jones off about 230 points, the NASDAQ off just barely today, the NASDAQ slightly in positive territory, but the S&P 500 is starting lower today. We'll get Bob's take on what's happening. We'll also ask him about gold prices. They hit another record high after fresh U.S. data spurred Fed cut expectations. We'll get Bob to weigh in on that as well. But let's head back to the phones. We've got a couple of lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Before the break, we were talking to Charles in Texas. He wants to start a business. He's wondering about God's will for his life in that area. Also wondering how to think about the money that he's saved and what he might want to use in terms of starting that business. And he still has a lot of questions. Charles, I was saying the first thing you really need to do is get that budget in place. I know you're bringing in $1,500 to $2,000 a month, but what are you spending? Do you feel like you have something left over at the end of every month, or are you kind of running right up to the edge?
Well, I think I do. My wife, she makes good money. So I do have some surplus here and there, but we really don't have any like real direction. We just keep it in the savings account or in the checking account. But okay. To answer the question, we do have enough.
All right. And so is your thought that if you were to start a business, that her income would be enough to cover your bills and therefore you wouldn't need to earn an income at least for a period of time?
Yes, sir. It should be enough. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I would really dial into that. I mean, that's really going to be important as you're getting started. I mean, for instance, you mentioned a laundromat, and there's a lot of decisions to be made there. I mean, are you talking about an attended one, an unattended one, or partially attended? Are you going to be buying an existing business or, starting from scratch? You really need a business plan. You've got to understand the startup costs. I mean, it could be anywhere from $200,000, to $1 million for a brand new facility and business. And then you got to understand the, ongoing expenses to run a laundromat. I mean, you're going to have payroll and employee benefits and insurance and rent.
You know, when you open one, I mean, so that could run anywhere from probably $4,000 to $10,000 a month. And then you have to, you know, understand how much it will make in profits, which, you know, laundromats can be a phenomenal business. And they actually tend to, the survival rate of a laundromat is actually a good bit higher than your typical small business if you have the right location and you've got the right staying power. But you're going to need to also to form a corporation and choose a business name and register your business. And then get, of course, licenses and permits and find that location and then, you know, think about financing, and you don't want to get overextended there. So I guess all that to say, there's just a lot when you're starting a business that you need to do kind of as pre-work, and perhaps maybe, you know, starting to work alongside somebody who could teach you the business. Maybe you partner with somebody who's, you know, been experienced, and then you go out on your own. I mean, all of those would be, you know, options to consider where you don't get over your head, because the last thing I'd want you to do is take on a big, you know, large debt or large note to start a business. And, you know, you run into either you didn't understand the, you know, the operating expenses, or, you know, it to put you in deeper debt that you can't cover because, you know, it takes longer than you think to get it up and running. So I guess that would be my thoughts on the business. In terms of God's will for you to start a business, listen, God created us to be productive. He created us to be workers. You know, work was not a part of the fall. Adam and Eve were workers pre-fall. God himself is a worker creator. We see that on full display in the creation account. So there's no doubt that he wants you to work with your hands. That's reaffirmed throughout Scripture. We should work hard as unto the Lord. You know, we don't want to work with the wrong motivation. We need to understand that everything we have, every dollar, every ability, every skill comes from God himself. But I would say all work that's God-honoring and legal and done as unto the Lord is appropriate. I think the question is just, you know, living within God's provision, not living outside of it, being careful when you use debt, not to get outside of God's will and go beyond his provision and do it in such a way that it could actually create a hardship for your family because you just go into it prematurely without sufficient working capital. So I would say, you know, pursue whatever is on your heart, but do a lot of research and create that business plan and create contingencies and maybe continue to delay starting this. And maybe you all operate 100% on your wife's income for the next year or two, and you take every bit of money that you get from your income and first of all, demonstrate that you can live without it. And then second, you could use that to continue to build up your savings. So if you were to start a laundromat or something like that, you could actually buy the equipment for cash and you could be ready to go in with enough savings that you're not, you know, taking on too much debt and creating a difficult situation for you and your family. Does that all make sense, though?
It does make sense. Thank you, sir. Okay. Sir, can I ask one more question on that line of your God's will, please?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, so another thing, I know you mentioned somebody was going to be coming on the radio soon, but I also wanted to go into investments because I do have a lot of savings. And so, again, that's why I really want to put it in different avenues. So one of the investments I want to go to is the SP 500.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just don't want – a lot of people say it's really good and reliable based on how it works, but I just don't want to rely on – just the fact. So what recommend, is there any cons to the SP 500 or what is your intake on it?
Yeah. The only question I would have is what is the time horizon on this money? I mean, there's nothing wrong with the S&P 500 in the sense that it's just the 500 largest companies here in the United States. So at face value, that would be fine unless some of them conflict with your values as a believer. But the big thing with investing is the time horizon and the purpose of the money. So if this is money that you're thinking about putting, let's say, into a business in the next 5 years, it doesn't belong in the stock market, regardless of whether it's the S&P 500 or any other investment, because you don't have the right time horizon. You would be trying to, quote, get rich quick And that's just not the way investing should be done. You need to do it, you know, in more of a steady plotting type of approach with at least a 10-year time horizon. Now, if you have the right time horizon and it's money that doesn't have another purpose in, you know, in the next 10 years, then investing is very appropriate. And then that's where we say, okay, what's the right investment mix? S&P 500 could be a part of it. You'd probably want it in some other things as well. Let me do this. I want to send you a book called The Sound Mind Investing Handbook. I think it'll be an encouragement to you. It'll help you understand investing from God's point of view. So you stay on the line. We'll get that information out to you and really appreciate your questions and comments today. It's great to have you on the program here, Charles. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got a couple of additional questions waiting. Michael in New Jersey. Pam's been waiting patiently in Arkansas. Also, Bob Dahl is going to stop by. We'll get Bob's take on what's moving the markets this week as we begin a new week here investing in the American economy and beyond. So much more to come still on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people in our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Before we head back to the phones today, here on a Monday, let's find out what's moving the markets. Joining us is Bob Dahl. He's Chief Executive Officer and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Bob, your weekly commentary was really helpful today, just unpacking the backdrop that we have here in the United States and beyond, why no recession thus far and where we might go from here. Give us that understanding here.
Certainly. A recession has not happened, as you pointed out, and many of us called for one. There was just so much money from the pandemic, so much government spending, private credit provided money, and that's just delayed or eliminated a recession. I suspect it's delayed. And so now we're looking at the economy doing okay, but many of us expect some economic and therefore earnings slowdown, Rob. And of course, because the economy has stayed strong, inflation, particularly service sector inflation, has remained somewhat stubborn, and that's postponed the number of rate cuts on the part of the Fed, and that's weighing on markets a bit. Interest rates out the curve are creeping up. Beginning of the year, the 10-year Treasury yield was 3.80. This morning it's 4.31, so a half a percentage increase in rates. You put that all together, and we've had a very good stock market, as you know. My guess is we're going to get some more choppiness here in the second quarter.
Yeah, I mean, the question is what's going to continue to move the market from here if earnings are going to start to deteriorate. We start to see a little deterioration in the consumer. And perhaps the answer to that has been that the global markets have been catching up. Is that part of what's driving us?
That's certainly part of it, although there's not enough of a recovery to say that should take the U.S. equity market already selling at 21.5 PE and push it higher. I think the only way we will have a noticeable gain in stocks for the balance of the year, the next 9 months, will be earnings estimates moving up. But, Rob, you already know the consensus has double-digit earnings expectations for this calendar year and next. It's hard to do better than that.
Yeah. Where do we stand with inflation, Bob? Because obviously that's one of the other keys here. You know, we hear good news periodically when that number comes out and then perhaps some bad news. And it seems like it's all over the board. Where are we today?
So we've had 2 months of disappointing inflation numbers after a bunch of months where inflation came down. Our guess is there's probably some more inflation decline in front of us, but not enough to satisfy the Fed's goal of 2% inflation. We're still in the high threes, Rob. Might we get down to 3? Possible. I think that's going to be a tall order, but getting down to 2, sadly, will only come if we have a nasty economic environment, i.e. a recession.
Yeah, and certainly nobody wants that. Bob, what about the breadth, that term that relates to just overall, are we seeing concentrated gains in the market, or has it expanded across a number of sectors?
Like your inflation comment, we get some good news, then some not such good news. November, December of last year, the breadth improved noticeably. Small stocks went up a lot compared to big ones. Then we've gotten into the first quarter, and you know, it's been on again, off again. The first quarter, the S&P was up 10%, but the Russell 2000 that represents small stocks was only up 5%. Now, nothing wrong with being up 5% in 3 months, but when your competition, if you will, is up 10, so all stocks and breadth have lagged.
Interesting. All right, Bob, finally, gold continues to make new highs. What do you make of that, and where do you think precious metals go from here?
Yeah, the whole commodity complex, Rob, has done well, led by cocoa, of all things. Copper's done well, and as you point out, gold and oil's done well also. A lot of this is catch-up, some visibility into improving economics around the world. My guess is we're going to need a lot more economic strength to continue this commodity surge that we've enjoyed here in the last few months.
Yeah, very good. All right, Bob, make it a great week, my friend. Thanks for stopping by. We'll talk to you in a week's time.
I look forward to that. Thank you.
All right, that's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Executive Officer and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can sign up for his weekly investment commentary called Dahl's Deliberations at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, back to the phones, 800-525-7000. We'll get to as many calls as we can between now and the end of the program today. Pam, you've been waiting very patiently there in Arkansas. How can I help?
Yeah, this is Pam in Arkansas. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I sure can. Go right ahead.
Okay. I recently retired in January. I'm 65 years old. I have a deferred comp that I put money into when I was working. I have like $15,000 in there. I was wanting to know if it would be okay to leave that in there and use it as a burial plan for me and my husband when we need it. Because I know if I draw it out now, I'll have to pay taxes on it. And I also had the question about whether I should keep it in stock. I have stock in National Fixed in it.
Okay.
And I can keep it in there until I'm 73.
Okay, very good. Pam, so thankful for your call today. Yeah, a couple of thoughts here. You know, after retiring, it's usually a good idea to use your deferred comp first for living expenses if that means you can delay Social Security benefits, which will increase by 8% a year. Have you already taken Social Security, or are you planning to?
Yes, Yes, I've already retired.
Okay. And so you're collecting benefits now?
Yes.
Okay, very good. So if that's enough to cover, then go ahead.
I don't need the money right now. I don't need it to live on.
Okay. The deferred comp or the Social Security?
The deferred comp.
Okay. All right. Well, since you've already taken Social Security, then what you can do is just roll that over to an IRA, an individual retirement account, which would give you more investment options. And then absolutely, you could just let that continue to grow. Now, at some point, you're going to need to start pulling that out as what's called a required minimum distribution. But that's not going to happen until age 73 or beyond, depending on your birth year. And you could use that as money, whether it's staying in the IRA or it comes out and be, as a part of a required minimum distribution, and you put it in, let's say, a savings account. You can absolutely earmark that for the cost of a burial and funeral expenses. You could do some pre-planning so that that's easier on your loved ones because all the decisions have been made, and then you've got that money earmarked specifically for whoever's going to handle that. So that would be a good option. How much do you have in the deferred comp today?
A little over $15,000.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so I think that makes some sense. The only question would be kind of what do you do with it in terms of the investments? You know, you've got a couple of options there if you roll it out to an IRA. You could use one of the what are called robo-advisors. Because this is not enough money to have an advisor manage it directly, you could choose like the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios or Betterment. And basically, you'd answer a series of questions about your age and your risk tolerance and the purpose of the money, and then it would automatically build a very low-cost, diversified portfolio for you, and it would constantly, you know, keep reinvesting dividends, and it would rebalance it over time as it gets, you know, out of line with the original objective. And so it would be largely bonds with a smaller allocation to stocks. But it would be a hands-off type solution where you're not having to make those decisions, and you know it would continue to grow for you over time. The other option is you leave it right there in the deferred comp. I think the only question is just looking at that investment mix and make sure that you know, probably, what did you say your age was?
I'm 65, yes.
Okay. So you probably don't want more than, let's say, 40% of the investments in stocks. I'd probably have more like 60% in bonds at your age, just so that you don't have quite as much volatility. You protect what you have. But that 40% in stocks would provide a growth component to it so that it would increase in value over time. And then, you know, you would have that money available. And then you could name a beneficiary on the account, which would be the person that would be responsible for paying for those burial and funeral expenses, so they could immediately get access to the money without waiting for probate. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's what I wanted to do, just leave it in there for a burial.
Okay.
For me and my husband, when we needed it, but I just wanted to make sure I didn't need to leave it in stock or put it in the national fix. I think I got it at 40% in the national fix, and the rest of it, or maybe the other way, I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, I'd probably have more like 60% in the fixed income portion and 40% in stocks at your age. That would be my recommendation.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Very good, Pam.
Thank you. You're
welcome. Thank you for your call today. We appreciate it. Well, folks, we are unfortunately out of time. Michael in New Jersey, I apologize we didn't get to you. You have a great question, though, about purchasing a new construction home in another state and the implications of this National Association of Realtors settlement and how that's going to affect commissions. I'd love to tackle that question perhaps on another broadcast this week. So stay right there. Our team will get you rescheduled. We'll see if we can get you on later in the week because that's an important topic. A lot of people are wondering, what does this new decision mean for buyers and sellers and what's going to happen with commissions moving forward? And how might I think about that in light of a home purchase or sale that I have coming up? We can dive into that with Michael's question. So you stay right there, sir. Folks, we're so glad to have you along with us today. We covered a lot of ground, but always look forward to being invited into your stories and taking you back to God's Word and helping you consider your financial decisions in light of sound biblical wisdom. I hope you have a great week. Let me say thanks to my team today. Certainly couldn't do this without them. Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and Robert Youngblood handling our phones today. Here on Faith and Finance, we want to bring you God's wisdom for managing your financial decisions. You can learn more and listen to our broadcast archives when you head to faithfi.com. In the meantime, may the Lord bless you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.